Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you understand the love, grace, and life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks for joining us as we continue in our series, The Grace Guide to Marriage. It's been an insightful and fun series over these past weeks, and I hope you're benefiting from what you're hearing every Friday on this study. So let's get today's session underway, and to do that, here's my friend Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. This has been a fantastic study. We've just really had a wonderful time talking about marriage, just going all the way back to the beginning, back to Genesis chapter 2, where God really laid it out for us. And marriage is his invention. He put Adam and Eve together. He officiated that very first wedding. Yes. And so if we will learn from that and take from that and bring it forward to our modern day, we'll be able to rise above the culture and live a married life that really is abundant and full and free and exciting and just everything that we can imagine marriage could be and should be.
Yeah.
So this has been a wonderful study. Today we're going to talk about how we communicate one with another in marriage. And this is a big subject. How we communicate is very important. And it's not only the words that we say. I mean, we can pick words, and then if we have a tone that is rude or unbecoming or something like that, then whatever the intention of the words were, the tone is going to trump. So it's both how we the words that we say and how we say it that really matters.
Right.
And I think we need to spend a lot of time on this particular subject, and not only in relationships as far as marriage is concerned, but relationships in general.
Oh.
Now, we talked probably 5 or 6 weeks ago about this passage in James chapter 1, starting in verse 19. It says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." So when we brought this verse up several weeks ago, we really focused on the listening aspect. We need to be quick to hear. That needs to be our top priority as far as relationships are concerned, as far as communication is concerned. I want to be quick to hear what Gina is saying to me. I don't want to disregard her words. I don't want to blow them off. I don't want to talk over her. I want to actually get to know what she it wants to say to me, what's really going on inside of her. That's how we should be in relationships. But when you look at this culture at large, Richard and Bob, I think this is the worst listening culture that's ever been. I mean, we don't listen to each other. We do not take the time to understand what the other person is actually saying. I mean, we see this in the political spectrum. I mean, the left and the right just talk over each other. They never stop to listen. As a matter of fact, when they engage in conversation, they just dig their heels in and they want to speak as loudly as they can to get their point across.
Yeah, it's awful.
We see that in theological debates. It's just amazing what you see on the internet, and that's the spoken word, but boy, people just go at each other like they're not brothers and sisters in Christ. And a lot of those conversations end with, you're not even saved. And you just make those kind of judgments. And why do you make those judgments? Well, partly because you haven't taken the time to listen and actually hear what the other person is saying. So we need to be great listeners, and we need to really, one, listen to what the Word of God is saying to us, what the Spirit of God is saying to us. And then as we do, I think that is going to put us in the proper position to be good listeners in our relationships one to another. But this verse does say, be slow to speak. So there is the spoken part of every relationship. There are words that we need to say. There are words that we need to communicate. And so we need to learn how to communicate those in the best way possible. Now, before we look at several passages in the New Testament that talk about the words that we use, how we use them, I think when it comes to marriage, we really have to step back and say, who is this person, across the table that I'm speaking to? And if you're the man, you're looking across, you're seeing your wife. And if you're the bride, you're the wife, you're looking across the table and you're seeing your husband. Mm-hmm. And the two of you at a point in time. Now, for Gina and me, it was almost 28 years ago that we stood at an altar and we covenanted together to be in this relationship, that we would love one another and serve one another for life. Mm-hmm. So we had a love, we had a relationship. It was built on a friendship first. We really started just liking each other as friends, and we found out our common interest as far as the things of the Lord were concerned, our relationship with Christ. I thought she was really cute, and I know she thought I was hot.
Absolutely.
I mean, I have that in my mind, right?
I can see the tweet now.
So there was this friendship, there was this physical attraction, and there was this love that started to grow in our hearts, and I said to her, I want to marry you. I want to be with you. So I gave her a ring. 3 months later, we're standing in front of an altar with a pastor there, going through a ceremony. And we are committing ourselves one to another for life. And so we have to remember that when I'm speaking to her, when she's speaking to me, this is the person that I stood with and said, I'm going to love through thick and thin, through better for worse, through health or sickness, through rich or poor, through all of those things.
Well, you had good role models in your mom and dad as well.
I did. I certainly did. Yeah. But even so, this is who I'm talking to.
Right.
Somebody that I've joined myself to, that we have become one. And I have said in those vows that I took that I am glued to her for life.
Yeah.
That there is no separation, there is no pulling apart. We're together, we're stuck together. So when I communicate, when I talk to her, I need to remember that. And the second thing that we need to remember, and this is probably more important than the first, that she's my sister in Christ, and I'm her brother in Christ. So we're speaking to one another who are related to each other eternally, who have been both saved by grace through faith in Jesus, who have both been forgiven of all sins, who have been declared righteous in God's sight. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. So when we take the time and understand who it is that we're speaking to, then that's going to temper the words that we say, and it's going to really shape the way in which we communicate one with another.
Absolutely. Well, this is the Grace Guide to Marriage on Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis. Glad you've joined us for this edition, everybody. You know, our purpose here at Basic Gospel is to get this good news out by every means available. And friends, we know that you want to share in the blessing of being a part of that. Many of you support this ministry very faithfully, and for that, we are eternally grateful. Your gifts do make a difference, and we'll talk more about that a little bit later in the broadcast. But right now, let's get back to our weekly edition of Basic Gospel, The Grace Guide to Marriage with Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer.
Yeah, so in communication, the first thing that we need to remember is who we're speaking to as far as our mates are concerned. We're speaking to somebody that we've committed ourselves to, and we're speaking to someone who is a sister in Christ or a brother in Christ. So knowing that brings us to, I think, a great passage in the book of Colossians, and it reads this. It's Colossians 4:6, and this is a really important verse, and a verse that I encourage you to mark, to underline, to even memorize. And it says this: let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. So we should let our words be gracious, to be filled with the very grace of God that saved us. And then we should let that speech, let those words be seasoned with salt. Now, salt is a flavoring. Salt was a preservative back in the days of Christ. So it had some important functions. And certainly it has important functions in relationships. So if we season our words with salt, we're saying that we want to preserve this relationship, that this relationship is vitally important, and we want to speak in such a manner that preserves it and that actually lifts it up and helps it grow and get stronger in life. And then we want to flavor it. We don't want our speech just to be bland. We don't want our speech just to be boring and monotone. We want to add some flavor to it, flavor that's really flavored with the very grace of God that saved us. It's flavored with his mercy, flavored with his love, that's giving a flavor to this relationship that's different than what we can experience out there in the world. Boy, conversation out there in the world is caustic. It's toxic. It's all of those things. It's just a very just disgusting taste as far as receiving those words. But the way we can communicate with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ can actually bring the flavor of God's life to bear in the conversation. So we want to let our speech be gracious. We want it to be seasoned with salt. And the result of that is that we will know how to answer each person. We'll know what to say. And that's vitally, vitally important. And it's so important in relationships. I know, Richard, when you counsel a couple, this is one of the main points that you bring up is communication, how you talk to one another. And this is one of the passages that is really comes to bear in that, doesn't
it? Yeah, it does. And that so often we react. We don't respond. In order to respond as a brother and sister in Christ, you have to be aware that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you and is changing you from the inside out. Losing that awareness forces you into a reaction mode where my flesh, driven by my selfishness, wants my own way. I've got to win the argument. I've got to put this person down so they don't bother me anymore. And it becomes blood sport if you're not careful. And yet, because we have the Holy Spirit living in us as children of God, we do have the opportunity to respond in the Spirit. And you know, if you remember, over the first few weeks, we kept referring back to this model of the Spirit, the soul, and the body. Why do we have to know that Jesus is our source of meaning and purpose in life? Because he is the source of a response rather than a reaction. He's the one who can allow us to be slow to speak and quick to hear and slow to anger and to season our conversations with salt. If we lose sight of him, again, fix your eyes on Jesus. When we lose sight of him, we are left to our own devices. And when we're left to our own devices, we almost always respond selfishly. And that brings hurt and then counter hurt. And pretty soon you've escalated and you can't take it back.
Yeah.
And so even when you love each other as much as I love my wife, when I go too far and I can't take it back, it takes time to restore what I just burned. And so this idea is vital because communication is really all we have. How do we communicate with each other? Well, verbally and nonverbally and physically, but it's all communication. It's not just, hi, how are you? It's really, truly an intimate form of knowing each other, led by Jesus himself.
Yeah. There was a Jewish rabbi that talked about words and how they can damage and it's hard to pull them back. And he gave the illustration of ripping open a pillow and just all the feathers go everywhere.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Once they're out there, it's hard to get them back into the pillow. And that's the same with words. Once they're out there, once they've stung another person, it's hard to pull them back. It's hard to repair that. And yeah. it does take time.
Think of it this way. The primary source of our understanding of God is that he spoke the worlds into existence, the whole universe. Well, one of the vestiges of the image of God we maintain is the ability to create with our words. So when we say things, it causes things to occur. Think about that,
yeah.
and let the Spirit
right.
lead you.
Both good and
yes.
bad.
Yeah.
Most definitely. I love what the psalmist said in Psalm 141:3. He said, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. You know, protect me and protect the person that I'm speaking to from the words that I could say. And we can have fleshly response or we could have Spirit-led response. And what we're saying here is for the benefit, for the sake of the relationship, be quick to hear, slow to speak. And that slow to speak is allowing the Spirit of God to help you choose your words
yeah.
and to shape how you're going to say mm-hmm. and communicate that information
yes.
To your mate. Those things are vitally, vitally important. And we've got a couple of other things to talk about, but we'll get to those right after the break.
Well, it is the Grace Guide to Marriage. And friends, we hope that you're gaining vital insights into the true meaning of marriage as we share these sessions on each of these Friday editions on Basic Gospel. If you'd like to review the previous sessions, you'll find the archive, and it's free. Find the archive at basicgospel.net/teaching. And we hope you'll tell your family and friends how they, too, can hear this excellent series, The Grace Guide to Marriage from Basic Gospel. Again, you'll find it at basicgospel.net/teaching.
Well, thanks, Bob. The next thing that we need to take a look at is when we're communicating, we want to speak the truth.
Yeah.
We don't want to speak lies. We don't want to deceive. We don't want to manipulate. We don't want to guilt trip somebody into doing anything. We just want to speak the truth, but we want to speak the truth in love. I think there's nothing as damaging to a relationship as lies. I know Gina and I, when our kids were young, we constantly told them, we want you to tell us the truth. Now, to me, they could have done something in school, but if they lied about what they did to us, then that was
worse.
Yeah, much worse, more severe as far as how we were going to handle it than what they actually did at school. Mm-hmm. So if they just tell the truth, then we can figure out, well, we're going to deal with this over here in a very positive way. But if you're going to lie, I mean, that really just interjects distrust and all sorts of things into a relationship. So we want to speak the truth, but the Word of God certainly warns us about just being blunt about it.
Yeah.
Just throwing it out there.
When you have an operation, you need a little anesthesia.
That's right. You definitely do. So we see, for example, in Ephesians 4:15 that we're to speak the truth in love. But speaking the truth is so vitally important. Now, a number of years ago, a movie came out, A Few Good Men, with Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson, and they're in the Army, and Cruise is an attorney, and Nicholson is on trial, and they get into this heated exchange, and Cruise says, I want the truth, and Nicholson just blurts out and just power, and you can't handle the truth.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we think that's the way it is in human relationships, that I dare not tell the truth to my mate. Why? Because I don't think she can handle it. Or she might say, I dare not tell the truth to my husband because I don't think he can handle it. But that's a lie. That's nonsense.
Yeah.
Only the truth, once it's out there, then can we do something about it? But if you choose to lie, then you're just masking a problem, and that problem is going to grow and fester, and at a point in time, it's going to explode in ways that's going to do more damage than simply telling the truth months earlier.
Yeah.
So we want to tell the truth. We do want to add love to it. We want to add a measure of love to it. And this gets to the tone of how we say our words. I know I can be pretty blunt sometimes with my words, and it comes out sounding very rude. Well, love's not rude. Love is not rude at all. It's not self-seeking. It's none of those things. So if you're really speaking with love, then your tone will reflect it. And I am very thankful when Gina has been very truthful with me in saying, the way you said it. It wasn't the words. It was the way you said it came across very harsh, very hard-edged, rude. And boy, that's helped me in great ways. So I appreciate her truthfulness in that. But we do want to have the truth that we speak to one another really filled with the very love of God.
Yeah.
That's so vitally important, isn't it?
Yeah, this having it filled with the love of God probably applies more to the raised eyebrow kind of thing. You say something, and it's truthful, and it's intended perhaps to cause growth, but if you the inflection in your voice or the raised eyebrow or the tilt of your head can give the lie to it and show, regardless of it being truthful or not, I'm aware that you're speaking to me in the flesh rather than in the spirit. And if you don't believe this, just pay attention, because we have the battle of the flesh and the spirit. We live with it every day of our lives. And this issue of truth is one of those areas where the flesh, you know, it becomes the I told you so moment. There's no winning when you go to I told you so. There's no mutual benefit to I told you so. But truth spoken in love, and we're talking agape love, the very love of God himself,
yeah, right,
can be handled because there's no condemnation in it. It's the same kind of discipline that we get from the Spirit. The Spirit always tells us the truth, but he does it without condemning. He can teach us how to do the same thing.
Reminds me of the words of Jesus when he said, the Father not only tells me what to say, but how to say it.
That's exactly right. So we can abide in Christ, and we live in him every day. And as we have that dependent relationship upon him, then our words will be shaped, and the way that we deliver them will be shaped. Now, a couple of other passages, Ephesians chapter 4, and it's interesting, all these passages on how we speak to one another are really just nestled right up to Paul's teaching on marriage.
Yes.
Why? Because the two go hand in glove.
Yes.
So in Ephesians 4:25, he says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And this really applies in marriage. Why do we want to speak the truth to one another? Because we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And then he goes on in verse 29 and says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. What do we want to do more than anything as far as our relationship with our mates are concerned? We want to build up and not tear down. We want to give grace to those who hear.
Yeah.
That's our purpose in communicating. We want to build our mates up. I want to build Gina up. I know in her conversation with me, she wants to build me up. Why? Because that's good for the marriage. We have joined ourselves together, one with another. We have become one flesh. It's no longer about me. It's no longer about her. It's about us. It's about our relationship together. And so when we communicate, when we allow our words to be seasoned with salt, filled with grace, delivered in love, then the marriage wins.
Yes.
So how we communicate is vitally important.
Indeed. Well, very good stuff today, guys, as always. And friends, thank you for joining us for The Grace Guide to Marriage. Please keep in mind that we need your help to be able to produce series such as this and keep the New Covenant message on the air. We hope you'll join us today with your support. You can donate online at basicgospel.net. You can donate through the Basic Gospel app. You can go to basicgospel.net. As I said, there's a prominent donation link right there on the homepage. And in Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada. You can donate through the Basic Gospel app and with PayPal. And we appreciate so much the support that you bring to Basic Gospel to keep this New Covenant message on the air and online. Remember, too, if you hear anything that you have a question about, you can drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net, and he'll be glad to respond to it. Otherwise, you can record your question at 844-322-2742 anytime over the weekend. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.